Hi, everyone, and welcome back to High Tea Hoops.
High Tea Hoops.
It's Skylar, the Duchess of Hoops, as always, back with a Sunday roast.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. We had to bring it back for the madness we call March. So, Brian, how's it going today?
A lot of basketball, which compared to last year, I think we're like at the 1 year mark of games being canceled, basketball being canceled, life being canceled. The March Madness tournament last year, we did not get to enjoy. And now we get NBA, we get March Madness, we get BBL.
It's honestly a lot of fun. Too much basketball. It's like a lot yesterday, of basketball. I was trying to keep up with March Madness, men's and women's, BBL trophy, and WBBL trophy.
Yep.
And wasn't there something else?
There's just a lot.
There's
and I
too
love
many
it.
Sports on right now.
Tottenham got a win.
Tottenham.
Much needed 3 points after a horrific week.
let's get into basketball so that we can just not talk about Tottenham. Okay, Brian, we're talking March Madness today. I am so pumped. March Madness is one of my favorite things every year. For people who, you know, we want to be welcoming of all audiences on this podcast, no matter how new they are. And so, you know, if you aren't super familiar with March Madness, it's sometimes called the Big Dance, and it brings together 68 of college basketball's teams for one mega tournament where you win or you go home. They're all single elimination games. It's one of the most highly anticipated sporting events of the year in the U.S., and I think it's my favorite every year.
It's honestly incredible. And it's not, it's single elimination, and most of these teams have never played each other before. So yeah, it's just completely random, and they don't know how to game plan. They've never seen it before. You get these crazy matchups that would never happen during the regular season, and no one's ever gotten a perfect bracket, and I think statistically no one ever will. So it's just endlessly entertaining. It's just the chances are lower than almost anything I can imagine.
I didn't know that there had never been a perfect one.
Oh, no way. Maybe picking the winners or high points, no way perfect.
We'll talk about it later, like how crazy this year is compared to others. But typically, there's perfect brackets going into the round of 32, usually the round of 16. Like, there's usually perfect brackets going pretty far into the tournament. We don't even have all of the Sweet 16 set yet, and there are no perfect brackets in the world.
It's not
and
even
there were not early. Like, there were just none.
None. It's not even perfect brackets going into the Sweet 16. It's just people picked the Sweet 16 right and missed other earlier games. It's just, I worked at Quicken Loans when the Warren Buffett, Dan Gilbert, if you got a perfect bracket, I think it was $1 billion prize. And Warren Buffett was like, yeah, no one's going to get it. This is ridiculous. It's impossible to get it.
But we all still try every year. It's crazy. All right, Brian, let's open this up. Let's just talk about our personal favorite March Madness moments. I feel like, you know, I'll go first, give you a little bit of time to think. I feel like I'm going to be just the most insufferable I've ever been about Michigan ever on this podcast during this episode. So
you're lucky, Skylar.
You just want a fair warn everyone.
You actually went to a college that goes to the tournament where my Dartmouth team, I love them so much. I don't even know if we've ever made a tournament, maybe like in 1917, but the NCAA tournament just isn't even in my brain ever. It never happens. And you get just these historic moments over and over. So
what would happen in March at Dartmouth? Like, would you guys, you would go to bars and watch, but
just fans. Well, there aren't bars at Dartmouth, so it's too small. But we'd watch. We're just fans.
Experiences.
I mean, that's all sports at Dartmouth.
Yeah. So I feel like I could reach into my very, very deep bag of incredible Michigan moments to choose my personal favorite. But I'm going to go with a pretty recent one, the Jordan Poole buzzer beater over Houston. I think to make it, was it the Elite Eight? I don't even remember. Who knows? I should have looked that up, but it's fine.
Oh, there's too many Elite Eights, too many Final Fours. I can't remember them all.
We go too deep in the tournament too often. I can't remember. I was actually in London when this happened, and so it was like 3 a.m. when I was watching it. I got a little taste of what UK NBA fans go through all the time, and It was 3 a.m. and I was in my flat watching it. And I woke up every one of my flatmates with my screaming when this happened, because it did not look like we were going to win this game.
No.
And then they gave the ball to our little freshman, Jordan Poole, who, by the way, has been having a great run of games with the Warriors. So check him out. But this is literally one of my favorite college experiences, like one of my favorite college memories, including ones that I was like involved in, but this is still one of my favorite experiences from college.
That whole team was so fun.
It was so fun.
Three NBA players, four NBA players on that team?
Jordan, Mo, Duncan.
DJ.
There's more.
Four, five on that team? Wagner. God, Wagner was one of my favorite college basketball players ever.
Favorite college basketball player ever.
And now tinier
now
Wagner.
Little Wagner.
Now little Wagner.
I just love that family so much. All right, I will get off the soapbox. I'm sure people have tuned out at this point. But Brian, what is your personal favorite March Madness moment?
I would say Fab Five, Chris Webber calling a timeout. I think that's probably going to be my favorite. Just the utter pain and historic. I'm just kidding, Skylar. I had to throw that in there. It's not all great at Michigan, which still has caused a rift between a bunch of human beings to this day. It's just such – Michigan also just has so many of these painful moments. It's, you know, sometimes –
And we
like,
hold grudges.
And you hold grudges
like
for a long time.
We like to tend to them like our little pets.
Does Michigan still kind of not accept Chris Webber?
I don't know. I don't think that's true. I think especially with Juwan. Harbaugh and with Juwan, like Harbaugh made a big effort to include the Fab Five. Like Harbaugh invites a lot of people to football games and their honorary captains and stuff. And he's made a big effort to really include the Fab Five back in the Michigan community and really make sure that they know that they are loved and cherished at Michigan. And Juwan's done a lot for that relationship as well. So it's definitely changing now. But yeah, it's been tough.
Yeah, seriously. So me as a Dartmouth grad looking in from the outside at all times, just a fan of the sport, just watching other teams do their thing. I love a good upset. I love a lower seed doing well. So one that sticks out is 2010 championship game, Butler versus Duke. This is the Gordon Hayward game.
I can't believe you're doing this.
I was watching it and this, I will remember this more than anything else. Cause for some reason I was so invested in Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward, like taking down Duke. I'm not a big Duke guy. They're very annoying every year. And I think this will be like the only buzzer beater that didn't go in. That's like on the top moment of all time. But that half court shot for Gordon Hayward to win the game, I felt like time froze when it was in the air and missing it almost going in, rimming out so close. It could have been just like one of the most historic wins of all time. And instead it goes down in all time as a buzzer beater that didn't go in. But this one, for some reason, has just always stuck with me for the last decade.
I feel like it sticks with you because I can't think of any other game where there's like more villains than Duke versus Gordon Hayward. Like, who do you root for in that game? There's no one to root for.
This was like bowl cut Gordon Hayward. So it was a different era.
So let's move on and talk a little bit about how this year is different than others. So obviously we didn't get March Madness last year because of the pandemic. And it's obviously still, you know, we're still in this global pandemic, no matter how much people want to act like we're not. And so it's obviously going to affect the tournament. So let's run through a little bit how this year's different. And so typically the tournaments happen kind of all over the country. There's basically like a couple different locations for each round. And this year they're all taking place in one location. So the men are all in Indianapolis and the women are all in San Antonio, which I always love that basketball competitions are in Indianapolis. It's just, I don't know why, it's just funny to me. It's just like literally all that's there is basketball.
Yes.
That's it.
I've lived in Indiana. It really is that way. Basketball is the biggest sport by far.
Yeah. And so let's talk about what happens when a team is in COVID protocols, since it's bound to happen. On Saturday, number 7, Oregon was slated to take on number 10, VCU, in the round of 64. However, VCU ended up showing positive tests on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. The game ended up being ruled a no contest, and Oregon got to advance. I feel so bad for BCU there. Yeah. The NCAA had previously said that a team can play with five players if that's all they have, but since BCU, it appeared that Corona was spreading on the team, since there were multiple days where more positives were showing up. It was deemed too risky for them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll kind of see how it goes. I have a feeling we would see different actions taken for different situations, but really just hoping COVID doesn't play too much of a role in this tournament.
Yeah. As the tournament progresses, if we get some no contest, if we get some teams advancing where a team is struck with COVID or multiple teams, it's going to get messy. So hopefully everyone can stay healthy and they can be on the court.
Yeah, for sure. And this year is very different than last year or than previous years in that there's no Duke and no Louisville this year.
Yeah.
Brian, how weird does that feel?
It's just this whole year feels weird. Mm-hmm. So I like March Madness snuck up on me, to be honest. Like the college basketball season isn't what it is in other years. So it's like, oh wow, we're already at March Madness and like we're already we already have a bunch of teams in here. And yeah, a lot of the blue blood teams did not make the tournament, which feels very bizarre. Some of the biggest coaches, biggest programs, having a first four with Michigan State and UCLA is super weird.
I loved it. Personally, loved it.
Yeah, you're lucking out with Ohio State losing first round, Michigan State not even getting in. Great year for Michigan fans. But it doesn't, it just kind of all plays into a COVID year where just anything seems, you know, like it could happen.
Yeah. That's true. So as of Monday morning, some of the Sweet 16 is set. Some of the round of 32 still needs to be played. Let's run through some of the games this year. It's been a crazy year already. There's been so many upsets. I'm just going to run you through these because I really feel like these teams deserve their flowers and they deserve their claps before they end up losing. So let's give it to them while we can. This year is the first time four teams seeded 13 or worse have reached the round of 32 ever in one tournament. That is so insane. So in the round of 64, number 15 seed Oral Roberts took down number 2 Ohio State.
Unbelievable.
Ugh, I loved that game. Number 14 seed Abilene Christian took down number 3 Texas. Number 13 seed North Texas took down number 4 Purdue. Also, did you know North Texas is named the Mean Green?
Yeah.
I love that name. I think it's so funny and fun. And number 13 seed Ohio took down reigning champs number 4 Virginia.
They're the reigning champs. You're right.
Yeah, you got to go back 2 years.
Oh my God.
I know. Someone said that reigning champs Virginia, and my brain was like, what?
What? Kyle Guy?
Yeah.
My guy? Kyle Guy?
Yeah.
That's incredible. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The first team in history to be NCAA champions for 2 straight years.
Is that true?
Lost their, haven't lost in 2 years in the NCAA tournament.
I guess. We move on to the round of 32. Number 15, Oral Roberts again.
Oral Bobs. Let's go.
Take down number 7, Florida in an insane, insane ending to that game. Number 12, Oregon State beat number 4, Oklahoma State. Number 11, Syracuse beat number 3, West Virginia. And number 8, Loyola Chicago, one of my favorite teams to watch every single year, beat number 1, Illinois. Thank you, Ramblers. I really needed that.
What do you have against Illinois?
They've just been talking too much shit this year.
I mean, you have friends that went there too, right? Is that where you're getting a lot of the shit talking?
No, it's just, okay, so it was Michigan and Illinois this year that were like really duking it out for that Big Ten title.
Nice.
Michigan ended up winning the regular season Big Ten title. Illinois ended up winning the Big Ten tournament title. Illinois ended up saying that they think that they should be the regular season champs. I don't know. They're just talking a lot of shit. It's the first time they've been good in 20 years. And so suddenly they want to start talking. I'm just happy to see them go down. I'm just happy that Michigan is not the first number one seed to lose.
Yeah.
Cause I think we're next. But happy Illinois took one for the team. Brian, so many upsets this year. Why do you think this is the year of the upset? Do you think it's just You know, it's a crazy year. It's COVID. We just can't predict anything. Or why do you think this is happening?
Yeah, I think COVID has a lot to do with it. So the whole, like, this whole year has been insane for college athletes to try to manage. How are we playing? What are the protocols? They're going into the bubble where I've heard, like, we can go into this a little bit later, but mm-hmm. the food isn't great. So a lot of them are surviving off of, like, the snacks they brought into the bubble.
Yeah.
And the training isn't the same, your habits. So I think with the single elimination, with just so many wild card and so many factors outside of the basketball court that can affect these outcomes, I think that it is just a crazy year where it, you know, it comes down to Abilene Christian making two free throws at the end. It comes down to, like, these buzzer beaters or mm-hmm. a team just not getting hot for a quarter and the other team just hits a bunch of threes and it's over. Mm-hmm. So I do really think that because there's so much going on off the court and it's just kind of pulling these players out of their natural rhythms, mm-hmm. that we're going to get a lot more upsets, and it has come through for mm-hmm. every fan's delight.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we were talking about, like, the NBA bubble, and we kind of started talking, like, do we think that the quality of basketball will go down? Or do we think, you know, we were kind of like, do we think we'll be seeing a lot of upsets like that in the bubble? And it wasn't happening. And I think mm-hmm. there's a real, like, move toward professionalizing, like, all of your behavior that's not on the court, like how you're preparing all throughout the day before a game.
Yep.
That you really step up in professionalism in the NBA and you really are trying to control every single little last thing that you can control. Whereas I think in college, like, it's just a lot harder for college students to do that. They've got a lot going on. They're a lot younger. They haven't really been taught how to do that yet. And so mentally, I think it's just really hard to go into these situations. And the way COVID is affecting all of us so deeply mentally, like, sorry to bring this up, but your Nuggets with that one game when they could have easily won that game and they just had a brain fart and took the, like, open three
the fast break, the layup. The 4-on-1 fast break where they didn't do anything and lost the game at the last second.
Yeah. I think there's just a lot to be said for how COVID is affecting all of us mentally and how that can really play out in games.
And in the NBA bubble, I mean, they were there for a long time. So there's other mental health challenges for that, but at least they could get into a routine and a rhythm and they have series. So it's best of 7 or best of 5 or whatever it happens to be. These are show up for the weekend, single mm-hmm. elimination tournament, you're gone. And this is something that these kids have waited for.
18-year-olds.
Yeah. And they have been waiting for this their entire lives mm-hmm. to make it into the NCAA tournament. And there is, if one team gets hot in that first quarter, you can see some meltdowns and some people getting really nervous. And we saw that.
Yeah, definitely. Outside of the upsets, Brian, what have you thought about the games this year?
Let's focus in a little bit on Abilene Christian, because this is for all the kids out there. Practice your free throws.
Yeah.
It is so important. And this is literally, when you're practicing your free throws, what happened in this game at the end is literally what I think about every single time I practice free throws. And just a little BTS for Skylar and Brian, when we go shoot together and practice, we have to make, 15 out of 20 free throws combined in order to leave the 15. Court. And when it gets to, like, we have a couple more shots and we have to make them to get to that 15 and we're tired, you get a little shaky and there is literally no one out there and there is no stakes. And this kid, well, I think he's like a 53% free throw shooter, gets fouled with like 1 second left, makes the first one while his teammate is on the free throw line, like praying. Did you see that? He wasn't even trying to rebound.
Yes. I was like, why is this me?
He was just standing in the middle, just like holding his palms in his hand, just like, just summoning, please. Yeah. Please go
summoning
in.
Summoning the basketball gods.
Incredible. Makes the second one to go up on Texas, a 14-3. They steal the inbounds pass, win the game, move on. Those are the most clutch free throws I think I have ever seen from a college player in this bubble. Are you kidding me?
Who shoots like 53% normally, just iced them. Insane.
Unbelievable.
Insane. I feel like we talk about that every year though with March Madness. Like, March Madness is one of the things that makes it so glaringly obvious, like, how important free throws are.
Yes. And you, like, it literally decides a lot of these games. And you see some kids just airball a brick and this guy just hit both of them. So very impressive from these college kids doing that. Any other games that stood out to you, Skylar?
Yeah. We were prepping to do this pod last week as kind of a March Madness, a pre-March Madness kind of prep pod. And I was getting ready in that pod to come in and be like, guys, it's the Big Ten's year. We're so tough this year. Big Ten's going to come in and sweep the whole competition. And then the Big Ten has literally just embarrassed themselves over and over and over and over and over to the point where, is it just Michigan left now? I'm trying to think who else is.
I'm going through the bracket. I don't know. It
Did
might
Maryland
be.
Win? I think it might just be Michigan at this point. There's a lot riding on Michigan at this point.
Always.
I just feel like every year the Big Ten is disrespected and is treated like kind of a soft league. It's kind of hard to compare the leagues, or not the leagues, the conferences in college basketball. Mm-hmm. And this year I really felt like it was getting some respect. People were finally paying attention to how good Big Ten teams were. And it's just embarrassing, the showing that the Big Ten has had.
It's
I also
okay,
think,
Skylar.
Thank you. I hope Michigan can look good and hopefully bring some respect back. But
did the Ivy League even get anyone in this year? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Why don't we get an automatic bid? Come on, just throw one of us in there every year, just for fun.
Just to get embarrassed.
Beat up
every
on
year?
The nerds.
I don't know that would be great.
Colgate got in. A NESCAC.
I also think we were talking about mentally players kind of breaking down in games. I also think we've seen a ton of mental toughness in these games.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of games that looked like they were over. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of teams that have gone on really hard runs right at the end of games to come back and win or tie or whatever. And so, yeah, I think on the other side, like, I totally understand how everything can be affecting these players' mental health and how that can lead to mistakes. I yeah. also think it's been so impressive to see the mental strength that they have and that they've shown in these games.
Yeah, there have been some top seeds like Arkansas against Colgate, mm-hmm. where they went way down at half and they stormed back and crushed them at the end. So that's been really mm-hmm. cool to see. But then the mental toughness, can we go into Loyola Chicago for a little bit? The Ramblers.
Yes.
And my new king, Cameron Crutwig.
I love him. I could not look away from him all game. I could not watch anyone else.
And this team had that run. And let's go back to this. This was one of my other favorite moments is the number one. They were the number 11 seed, mm-hmm. beat Miami and Tennessee with game winning shots in the first two rounds.
This is 2018, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And they made it to the final four, and they have Sister Jean, the 98-year-old nun, who's 100 now. She must be 100.
I think she's 101 now.
Sister Jean. And she is one of the biggest stars now because they are making another run. And this was that team that had just all the shooters. They were all seniors. It was like classic mm-hmm. college basketball. And we are getting that again with Cameron Crutwig, who I tweeted this. The announcer was like, I'm not going to say he's athletic, but goodness, does that man know how to play basketball? And he like
I heard
had
that live in the game, and I literally spit out my drink because I was like, you didn't have to include the first part.
I know. It was so good. He got the steal that basically sealed the win for them at the end.
He had just had like three incredible plays in a row, and the announcers are like, I'm not saying he's athletic. It's like, all right.
You don't have to say anything. He's making the clutch plays.
Yeah.
And he's just, God, if anyone scouts me like that, please, I aspire to that sort of scouting report. Not if Paul Nicholson goes, not athletic, but goodness, does he know how to play basketball. I'll take that every day. I love another Loyola run, and they're the ones who took down Illinois.
Yeah. Did you see Sister Jean's prayer before their game yesterday? Because it was so funny.
Yes.
she always like prays with the team, which say what you will about summoning God's gifts for the sports games. It makes me
against other people, making other people nervous.
Yeah. Her prayer was like, let us play well today. Let us not get hurt. It's like the normal stuff. And then she goes into, she's like, Illinois only shoots 20% from three. She like went into
advanced analytics
in her prayer, which is iconic. I hope she's on their staff, honestly. I hope she's getting a paycheck.
She's like, our defense will hold us down. We only shoot 50% from layups. And I hope we open up to some hot shooting so the other team gets nervous. She's like giving like a Sunday morning scouting report for the other team.
Yeah. But Loyola really is like, they're the reason why we love March Madness. Like these teams who can come in and no one really expects them to go too far. And just out of like pure passion and discipline and being well coached and playing as a team, they can take down number one seed Illinois.
And you see this a lot in the tournament, because you have these, there's like a big shift in college basketball where the top schools will typically get in the top recruits who are freshmen, sophomores.
Yeah.
And they're one and done or two and done, but they don't gel and they don't have the, mm-hmm. the cohesion a lot of the other teams where they have seniors and juniors who have played with each other for 4 years. So you get these matchups that are the top recruits for the NBA who are doing a lot of ISO ball, not really playing that well as a team, versus teams like Loyola, where they've literally played in the same system for 4 years. They've earned it. They're hungry. They want it. And it just leads to these incredible matchups where you get someone like Cameron Krutwig, mm-hmm. who looks like he is going to be the greatest YMCA basketball player of all time throughout his entire life, versus like the Illinois number one seed in the region, which, God, it's so much fun.
Well, games like that are also interesting because they're in the same state. And Illinois is like the big state school program that players want to go to. And Loyola is, you know, a smaller school program. And so you see with a lot of these matchups, it can be really, they get really passionate and it gets really personal because a lot of the kids that are playing for Loyola are from Illinois and did not get recruited by Illinois and are still heard about that. And so now they're going up against that team that overlooked them and didn't want them. And they get to suddenly, you know, prove all of these things that they've been thinking for all these years. So the in-state matchups between a big state school and a small school are always my favorite because it gets real personal.
Yep. I mean, Loyola is the better NCAA school at this point.
Yeah.
Final four appearance, making it to the Sweet 16. You love to see it.
Love to see it.
All right. Do we have to go into brackets?
Yeah,
it's so depressing. It's like, it's an impossible thing that you get your hopes up and then it just crushes you immediately.
Honestly, I am so confused when people have that sentiment because I've never been crushed by a bracket. I'm just like, they're bad every year and I don't expect them to be good.
I've taken that approach more this year than any other year, but when you're in pools and when there's prizes on the line.
Yeah, I've put no money on it, so that's why I feel that way. But Brian, what is typically your strategy for filling out your bracket? Are you someone who does a lot of research? Do you just wing it? Do you go for the, you know, the fun names? Do you go for the underdogs?
In typical years, I will listen to like college basketball podcasts. I'll follow a little bit more. I look a lot at the conference tournaments leading in, because you can go like Kemba, cardiac Kemba hot, win the Big East, roll through into the NCAA tournament. So I love to see a little bit momentum. This year didn't follow college basketball as much as other years. So it was a lot of heart. It was a lot of seeing random headlines around. Like I saw like a ticker that was like Syracuse has a 20% chance of making the Sweet 16. I'm like, Syracuse, they're hot right now.
Sounds good.
It sounds good to me. And it worked. That one worked.
Yeah.
My other strategy, the one that really failed, was me putting Michigan versus Ohio State in the final so that you would have a heart attack. And I was trying to encourage that in the universe. Really, really backfired with one of the biggest upsets in NCAA history.
That's what you get, Brian.
I feel like that was the universe.
Don't ever put Ohio State that far in the bracket ever again.
That was the universe going, no, Brian, absolutely do not do this ever again. Like, Skylar just needs some dubs. Do not have Michigan losing in the finals to Ohio State.
She cannot take anymore else.
It's been a rough year. Do not put this into the universe. So
this
year it was a lot of heart, a lot of narrative. I was trying to pick things that would like be fun to talk about if it were to happen, like Michigan versus Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But largely, no. It's a lot of 50-50. I stick with the big ones. You know, I know Michigan, Gonzaga, Baylor are tough. Illinois, you know, I don't have a lot of respect for Skylar. I'm sorry, even though they talk a big game.
I don't either.
Sorry, Big Ten. But it's been a lot of heart this year. What about you?
Yeah, kind of same. I feel like I used to go really hard on trying to research and find those upsets and do my background and have the best bracket possible. And when I was doing that, I used to always fill out two brackets, and I would do one where it was like my best choices, what I thought. And then I would do one where I had Michigan winning everything. Yeah. And this is kind of back when Michigan winning everything wasn't quite realistic. And I mean, it's, I don't know that it is now, but it's closer to realistic.
Yep.
And so a couple of years ago, I think the year that they went to the national championship, I decided I am jinxing Michigan by having a realistic bracket and a Michigan bracket. So then I decided I'm just doing a Michigan bracket.
All right.
For now. While they're in these years that they're good, I'm taking advantage.
Yep.
And so I basically do what you do. I do narrative based. My final four was Michigan, Illinois, Baylor, and Gonzaga. And I had Michigan and Illinois in the final, which is not at all what I did kind of think it would be that, but I truly just wanted it to be that because I just so desperately wanted a Michigan Illinois final to kind of put the shit talking that came from the Big Ten title, the Big Ten tournament title to rest. And so yeah. I really just was hoping for that. So
I like that.
I go on narrative.
I really like that. My final four were Iowa, Michigan, which is still in play. Mm-hmm. I put Houston in there. So I didn't believe in Ohio or Illinois at all. So I actually put Houston. And also,
I think Houston's good.
Your parents in Houston. I think it's a good pick. They go against Syracuse, though, which, you know, our guy, Buddy Boeheim, 25 points, can't miss a shot. Coach Boeheim's son, which you love. Is he the greatest shooter of all time? He might be right now. I wonder where he gets drafted. It usually does not work well when you pick a really good shooter in the NCAA tournament. That does not seem to transfer that well to the NBA. No. And then I had Ohio State, but now it looks like it's going to be Baylor. Yeah. And then I also had Gonzaga making it pretty far against Iowa, but you know how I love my Iowa team. Just
Luka Garza.
Just the Garza monster.
Yeah.
Another I want to see it. Love. That's what I had. Michigan, Iowa. If that happens, I would. Oh, that is going to be so fun to watch. Dickinson versus Garza. Are you kidding me, Skylar? Oh my God.
That would be actually incredible.
I would love to see that. Just the you don't see post as much in the NBA. So I just want to see a Garza Dickinson post matchup. Oh, can't wait.
Wow. I'm going to be thinking about that for the rest of the day and willing that into existence.
Exactly.
Brian, I was making fun of you because your bracket was so busted so quickly.
So fast.
Because you had Ohio State in the final four.
But I'm holding on a little bit.
Yeah, you're not doing too bad now. Yeah. I prepping for the pod last night. We were going to do it yesterday. Again, just kept pushing it off. But prepping for it yesterday, I was like, all of my Final Four are still in. All of my Elite Eight but one are still in. I was feeling good. And then Illinois lost. And so half a day later, it's completely busted. And so now I'm in the same boat as you. But
yep.
You know, that's not what it's about. It's just the love of the game. let's talk about our women's brackets really quick, Brian.
Yes.
Who were your final four and your champs in your women's bracket?
I mean, I think we basically had the same. So in the women's bracket's a little bit, it's not as random. So there's these powerhouse universities, the Stanfords, UConns, that just can't ever seem to lose. It seems to be there's less disparity now, with Notre Dame winning some national championships, Stanford, Baylor doing well. So I had the same final four, Maryland, Stanford, UConn, Baylor, but I'm picking UConn, Skylar.
To win it all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's who I had, too. I had the
same. Oh, you had UConn, Stanford final, and then you picked UConn?
Yeah.
I got to go with the Sue Bird. Stanford
final with, Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart. We got to rep our girls.
Rep the storm.
Yeah, I think with Paige this year, it's just, they have too much.
Paige buckets. It's a lot.
Paige and it's buckets.
I think we have a strong, a strong final four there, but they started yesterday. So it's been a little, I don't like that it's offset like this so much. Cause you're like, I want more basketball, Skylar. I need more games.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Yesterday I was like, I can't have a full slate of men's games and a full slate of women's games.
I guess that's true. They're not competing as much.
And the WBBL trophy. Like, I was upset that there were so many games I was missing.
That's true. Okay, I guess if they offset it, then there's a little bit more focus on it. I was just thinking, like, I just want, like, the social media to be going off on the women's side, the men's side, but that makes sense, too, that they're not competing as much for viewers.
Yeah. I think I'm a little nervous that I left USC, the Gamecocks, out. I have a feeling they're going to make a deep run, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, you got to pick some upsets.
Games. Yeah. I don't even want to really talk about this, but I feel like we should now that we're talking about women's basketball. Let's go into the NCAA controversy a bit. So over the weekend, a TikTok and some tweets went viral that showed the discrepancy in the experience between the men's March Madness experience and the women's March Madness experience. So we saw a couple different things. A, their swag bags. The women got much, 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 much less stuff, all unbranded compared to the men's. They got these insane swag bags. They got like 15 different bath and body products. Please show me one man that has used 15 bath and body products in a less than 2 years, let alone in the 2 weeks that they're going to be at this competition. The men had a fully built out weight room and the women had one rack of dumbbells and
just up to 30 pounds. Just like mini, it was mini dumb. It was just not even
lift more than 30 pounds, Brian.
Oh,
don't you know that?
That's not true.
Yeah.
Don't put that on me, Skylar.
And then like you mentioned earlier, the difference in the quality of the food, the men had, but like buffet style, like catered restaurants, like they were getting like barbecue in, like big platters of mac and cheese and chicken and all these things. And the women were getting these individually packed meals that looked disgusting. I couldn't even, someone tweeted a picture of one of the meals and I couldn't even tell what it was supposed to be.
It was like I saw Sedona, she posted like the Salisbury steak.
Is that what it was?
I think one of them was that. It's actually, social media has been incredible in this bubble because we get to see it and we get to see that this is what the environment is like. And then the media and the NCAA respond with things, which I think you're going to get into. And then they can counter it. You know, they can say, nope, that's not true. Look, and they're in there giving the behind the scenes look.
Yeah. So the NCAA, obviously this caused a huge uproar on social media. They've got NBA players, WNBA players, coaches, everyone calling out the NCAA, who we've known to be trash. This is not their first offense, but they ended up coming out and making a statement and saying that the weight room was just a matter of there wasn't enough space and it was a spacing issue, and they just kind of had all these excuses. And then the women were just able to directly respond and be like, hey, it's actually not a space issue. Look at this giant empty room that you could fill with weights that you haven't. And so then the NCAA had their feet to the fire and obviously just had to give them a weight room.
Yep.
So I think that it's, you know, it's been, a lot of this has been taken care of at this point. The weight room's been upgraded. They gave them some cool lights in the weight room to hopefully make them forget that this happened. I'm just honestly annoyed that women just have to constantly do this. Like, women aren't able to just go to March Madness and just focus on their games, focus on winning, focus on advancing, focus on, you know, what they need to do. They have to go to March Madness and they have to demand all of these things that the men are just getting without them even thinking about it. They have to spend so much energy just asking for the same things, which all of that energy could be put towards basketball. It's just so frustrating to me.
Yeah.
Brian, and what did you think about this?
I mean, you get the constant bullshit comments about the WNBA and women's sports, which is they don't bring in as much revenue, so they don't deserve it. That is absolutely not true overall. And it is especially not true legally in the NCAA, because the NCAA is a not-for-profit organization and they are mandated by Title IX to have equal for all sports, men and women. So they have to, like, scholarships have to be the same. So there are a lot more women scholarships in things like tennis and basketball because they have to equal football, which has a lot of players and a lot of scholarships. So they are mandated to have things equal. And so this is not a discussion about what brings in more revenue or anything like that, which is a bullshit argument anyway.
Yeah.
But they are required to have equal for both of these, and they weren't. And they got called out, and they had to quickly remedy the situation. And it looks like it's getting better. But the thing that drives me crazy the most is that it is, hey, look, these are not equal conditions. And people call it out, And then you get just all of the troll people on social media that are, they don't bring as much revenue. They don't deserve it. It just brings up this whole thing that everyone has to go through over and over and over again. It's incredibly frustrating. And
yeah.
I'm glad they were able to fix things quickly, but I think this is a huge argument for women having voices on social media and players having their own voices on social media so that they mm-hmm. can actually cause some of this change. Because this would not have happened if there wasn't the behind the scenes look into what's going on in these different facilities. So good on the players for kind of taking the reins themselves and demanding equality. And then other players, like you said, in the NBA and WNBA supporting them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I think we're making progress here with what's going on. And this kind of brings up a bigger conversation, Skylar, which I think some of the coaches talked about, where so much of basketball culture now is off the court. And the conversations are happening about what players do off the court, their personalities, their social media. So I think that is really helping equality here, where these players are becoming celebrities, you know, mm-hmm. if they're playing in Russia half the year and WNBA half the year, or if they're playing abroad. And I think that's going to really help kind of progress the sport is having these players being able to build their brands and having this presence where they can go viral on TikTok and be picked up by CNN, where before that wasn't happening.
Yeah, definitely. I think to me, this is just frustrating because the NCAA fixing it, just, it showed that it was always possible to just give them this from the beginning. And so, like I said, like, just give it to them from the beginning instead of making
thing.
The women go through all of this extra effort to just ask for equal things. Just do it right from the beginning.
Yeah.
We have such low expectations on the NCAA. They're so trash, but it's just so frustrating to see them constantly making these mistakes.
Yep.
Okay. I think we got that out enough.
Can we go over Brits in the tournament real quick?
Let's do it.
So this is pretty exciting to see, and shout out Hoops Fix for putting this list together. There Hoops are
podcasts.
The Hoops Fix podcast with Sam Nita. Love Sam Nita. Love that he puts these together. And I think we have some, Sam put together one article. I think our guy, yep, Bradley Gaines with the other. So there are a number of Brits in March Madness. And I apologize for any mispronunciations. I've never heard these said out loud, but I just want to shout them out. Amari Williams and Mate Okros for Drexel. Nice. So that's pretty exciting. Michael Anumba from Winthrop.
Nice.
Playing in the tournament. We got Robinson Adehen, UC Santa Barbara. Sorry, you didn't make it that far, but I really support the UC Santa Barbara teams. I love those UC schools. And then TikTok star slash
TikTok,
Josh Ogundele from Iowa. He hasn't gotten a lot of minutes this year, but he's on Iowa.
Yeah.
Huge personality, giving a lot of behind the scenes looks on TikTok. So follow him. He's very fun to follow on TikTok and social media. And he might not play that much, but he could be that. He could be the backup against Dickinson in that matchup that we're all looking for.
Is he a big man?
Oh yeah, he's huge. I think he's definitely one of their centers. He might be a 7-footer, 300 pounds. He's incredible, but light on his feet, you know.
Yeah.
And then on the women's side, we have Hannah Jump for Stanford. Are you kidding me? Oh yeah, Hannah Jump. Savannah Wilkinson, Florida State.
Nice.
Emily Stradling, Mercer. Love to see it. Megan Jones, UC Davis. So there's a lot of Brits in the tournament. So if you haven't picked a team yet that you want to support, one of those teams, Stanford, yeah. Hannah Jump, let's go.
Nice.
Even though we didn't pick them to win. Sorry, Paige Buckets is too much.
Four. Yeah, we exactly. Our final four. All right, nice. Let's finish up with a little BBL corner.
Love it. A lot of basketball weekend, on.
A lot of basketball. Over the weekend, the London Lions took down the Plymouth Raiders 88-82 in the BBL trophy. This is the first time the London Lions have won the BBL trophy in their franchise history after losing in this competition 2 years ago. DeAndre Liggins was named MVP with 19 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 5 steals. Great game for our guy, former High T Hoops guest. And the WBBL London Lions team also took home the WBBL trophy yesterday, beating the Nottingham Wildcats 64-96. I heard our girl Melita did a great job on the announcements. I wasn't able to watch. Brian, what did you think of these games?
Well, as London Lions fans, it was an incredible back-to-back win. What did I say?
Fans.
London Lions fans?
I'm a Scorchers
fan. Oh, true. That's true. Well, I'm a London Lions fan across the board here. So getting the back-to-back wins was incredible. Kennedy Leonard winning the MVP also for the WBBL. Mm-hmm. They crushed Nottingham. Sorry, Nottingham. But they were too good earlier in the day. And then I feel like this is, you know, I'm a London Lions first, but the Plymouth Raiders, you know, we have had Ashley Hamilton on, Paul Nicholson on. I've been on the Plymouth Raiders podcast. So there's like that special place in my heart for them. So it's, you know, it's pulling at my heartstrings in this game. And it was a tough battle. The Raiders played really well. They stormed back in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. But the Lions, you know, I think they were doing a little bit of a revenge tour when they weren't able to play in the previous finals in the season. And they held on. DeAndre Liggins, Kevin Ware, Dirk Williams, they all stepped up and took this one and got that trophy. And it was actually really, you know, they are the juggernauts this year in the BBL. Everyone expects them. They were saying that they're going to win all four trophies. And they haven't kind of lived up to those expectations in this first year, which, you know, a lot of people have been like, they should be winning everything. But it was genuinely satisfying to watch them so happy to have won. And it felt like they got, you know, a big, I don't know what, a chip on their shoulder or something with like, yes, we are the best team in the BBL. This confirms that we are fighters. We're going to win these games. We're not just going to collapse at the end. And they all looked generally, you know, genuinely happy and really excited to take this, which was really fun to see as a fan.
That point just made me think of something. I think that a chip on their shoulder, like, it doesn't mean something completely different in the UK, but I think it has a slightly different like meaning and connotation in the UK. So
like squeaky bum time.
Maybe.
My new favorite phrase. It was squeaky bum time for the Lions, and they came through and had squeaky bums, which I'm not sure if that works going backwards, but the chip on the shoulder, just, they said they're going to, it's kind of like the Miami Heat where not one, not two, not three, and they lose to the Mavs, and then they have to come back and really, you know, put their foot down and be one of the best teams we've seen in a long time. And that's kind of how I felt about the Lions getting this win, and hopefully it gives them some momentum the rest of the season. But I love just seeing these on Sky Sports. I think it was a great showcase of British basketball and what the BBL is, because this was a battle. Ricky McGill just coming out, like, he has been so hot the last few games and so strong. And he, I mean, even Kevin Ware was like on IG Live afterward going like, Ricky McGill, Jesus, like that guy can play, which is really cool to see them all coming together like that. But it was a really fun game to watch. And I think that's really good to kind of showcase those type of matchups to the UK as British basketball grows.
Yeah. I heard the IG Lives after this game were
incredible.
Lit. I missed them.
Just on the bus going home. Yeah. So happy, passing food around, passing the trophies around. It was great.
Nice. Yeah, I feel like, you know, we said DeAndre was named MVP. I honestly just want to give him a little appreciation here. He's really been, I think, my favorite player to watch in the BBL this year. The way that he just like doesn't quit on this team. He's so smart. Like, I don't know that I've seen a player with more basketball IQ than he has.
On both ends. He's a playmaker, where he was kind of a defensive specialist in the NBA, but he is their playmaker. You're absolutely right.
The way that his like body looks like it was just purely built for basketball kind of boggles my mind. Even just like seeing him, do you remember like when he went down kind of hard yesterday and he fell kind of weird on his back? And if you've ever had one of those falls, you know that those hurt, and they kind of take the air out of you for a couple minutes. And he was right back up. He was trying to walk it off so he could get to the line to shoot his free throws. And just the way that he's come into the league and has just kept his head down and has just always tried to lead this team and never given up. And he's just been really fun to watch this year. And I'm really glad that we've had him in the BBL this year.
Yeah. He's terrifying too. Like he'll make a layup or he'll have a good pass. And he like gets fired up for himself, and then he'll just full court pressure whoever gets the ball. And he just will. And it's just terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrifying to watch. And there was one play where I think he scored a bucket. The Raiders took it down. He got the steal. Mm-hmm. No one was within like a whole half court of him. Mm-hmm. And he just did a little layup. He's like, it was like just the most all business.
Perfect little fundamentals layup.
Yep, no windmills here. I'm doing my job. We're getting this dub. Nothing flashy.
Did you hear Kieran be like, yeah, man, I'm with you. Don't go for that dunk. Add another year to your career.
Exactly.
Like, don't come down on your knees and your ankles that hard. Go up for the layup.
Yeah, there's only so many jumps you have left at a certain point in your career. You got to save them for the big moments.
Yeah. I also loved Vince McCauley in an all-time outfit, honestly.
He loves it. That is his lane, just on TV and whatever final, he is going to wear just an incredible outfit. And we had to give him a little shout out there on Twitter. Great.
Honestly,
that fit.
I was literally typing a tweet out saying, oh my God, this is an iconic look when you tweeted me, rate this fit. So it was perfect.
Amazing.
Timing.
Mind melds.
Old timer from Vince McCauley.
Congrats to the London Lions. Got the trophy. So excited for it. We needed that win bad. So I'm excited for the rest of the season here.
Yeah. Good win. All right, Brian, this has been great. Love talking college hoops. Love talking BBL.
Sunday Roast is back.
Sunday Roast is back. I think we'll be back next week.
We got to do all March Madness. I mean, what if Michigan loses tonight, Skylar? Then we have emergency pod? No, we'll save it for the next Sunday Roast.
No, we're not doing an emergency pod for Michigan
for a loss.
That would be ridiculous. All right. This has been great. We'll see you next time, guys.
See ya.